This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it is good to be here again and see you all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in a much better place, that is the paradise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we know it's a little bit hot here tonight. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cool us with Iman, with Islam. Tonight's lecture is titled Healing Through Surah Al-Fatiha. And what I intend to share with you tonight is how Surah Al-Fatiha heals the believer. How is it a medicine and a remedy for all our ailments and sicknesses and traumas and psychological damages and so on? And I think it's very important that we share this subject, because the day and age that we live in, it's full of oppression and injustice, and there are many calamities. Each and every single one of us here is experiencing a calamity in one way or another. Perhaps it's a financial calamity. Perhaps it's a relationship calamity. Maybe a person has lost a loved one, a friend of his. And then globally, as an ummah, we are suffering a calamity, an oppression and an injustice that is taking place every minute that goes by. And the hearts become damaged. The hearts become damaged. And they need to be healed. And there is nothing that will heal the believer more than the word of his Creator, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described this Quran, He said, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, we send down the Qur'an as a healing and a mercy for the believers. That's one of the names of the Qur'an. It heals, and no doubt, because it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More specifically, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. More specifically, Allah Azza wa Jal, He describes this Qur'an as a healer for what is in the chest, and that is the heart. So now there's emphasis that the Quran is a healer, a shifa for the hearts. And you know, this is the heart. And this is where the calamities reside. This is where doubts are. This is where confusion is. This is where desires are. This is where ignorance is. This is where emotional trauma is. This is where depression is, where calamities and its pain resides. This is where darkness is, laziness, hopelessness, despair in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His forgiveness. It all lies here. This is where arrogance is, jealousy is, hatred is. All these are sicknesses of the heart. They are all diseases. They all cause pain to the believer, to the human being. And the Qur'an has been described as a shifa'un lima fi al-sudur, a shifa', a healer, a curer for the hearts. Allah Azza wa Jal did not describe the Qur'an as a medicine. He did not say it's dawa'. See, dawa' is medicine. Shifa' is healing. You know what the difference between medicine and a healing is? The difference is that dawa', medicine, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But a shifa, a healing, it is the healer. Yani 100% of the times it heals. It's not the case that let's try reading Surah Al-Fatiha, see if it does any difference in our life. Let's test it. If it doesn't work, we'll move on to something else. That's not the case. That you can say about medicine. If Nurofen didn't work, maybe move on to Panadol. If it doesn't work, move on to something else. You can do that with that stuff. But the Qur'an is a shifa, meaning this one and only. Allahu Akbar. This is how Allah would describe the Quran in terms of what effect it brings to the believers' hearts. Surah Al-Fatiha, it is known as Surah Ash-Shafiyah. That's another name for it. So the Quran, generally all of it is a healer, more specifically Surah Al-Fatiha. One of its many names is Ash-Shafiyah, the healer, the one that cures by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And why is that? There is an incident tied to this. And that is a story that happened with Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, a companion. He was with some other companions and they were coming to Al-Madinah. So they passed by a town and they were hungry, they wanted to eat. So they sought food from the town's people. And the people of the town rejected. They refused. They were stingy. They did not want to entertain these companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they walked off. And all of a sudden, one of the people that resided in the town rushed until he followed these companions. And he said to them, "Our leader, the leader of the town, has just been stung by a scorpion, by a spider, by a snake, Allahu Alam, he's been stung. And there's venom in his body, he's about to die. Do you people have anything? We've tried every medicine, nothing's worked. You people have anything?" Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, "I have something, but I will not test it unless you pay us." Because they were stingy at the beginning, so he's taking out something from them. So they agreed, "We'll pay you something." Abu Sa'id al-Khudri went in, saw the master. This is the leader of the town. So he began to recite Surah Al-Fatiha on his wound and blew on his wound as he is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. The narration mentions, فَكَأَنَّمَا نُشِطَ مِنْ عِقَانٍ. The man who's just about to die as poisonous venom in his body got up as though nothing had happened to him. فَانْطَلَقَ يَمْشِي وَمَا بِهِ قَلَبَهُ. He got up and he began to walk as though never, no pain and no injury had ever affected him. Subhanallah. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum took the sheep, that was their compensation, a flock of sheep, and they went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they mentioned to him what had happened. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companion Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةَ. How did you know that this surah was a ruqya? It was a healer. How did you know this? In other words, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of what he did. And he said to him, "Keep the sheep and give me some of it as well." Right? Which refers to the permissibility of taking for a person that does al-ruqya. Anyway, the idea is Surah Al-Fatiha is known as the healer. It healed this person's physical injury. And as well, the Qur'an is a shifa for us in the spiritual sense as well. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, "I sat in Mecca for a while and I would get sick and I did not find any medicine nor any doctor to treat me. So I would recite Surah Al-Fatiha upon myself and I would find amazing, incredible benefit to it. And anyone who complained about a sickness, I would prescribe the same thing to him and they would find incredible healing and treatment through it as well." Subhanallah, this is a man, not a prophet, that also had this type of relationship with Surah Al-Fatiha. And so the idea is, we need to understand, how do we use Surah Al-Fatiha to treat our wounds and heal ourselves with it? This is a concept. We're saying that Surah Al-Fatiha treats us, it heals us. But what we want to do is go through each and every single ayah and find out how does ash-shifa come? What are we supposed to be thinking when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha verse by verse? But I want to share with you something. In the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Innal insana khuliqa halu'a." The human being was created anxious. That's how Allah created the human being. He's always worried, he's always scared, he's always anxious, terrified of something. إِذَا مَسَّهُ إذا مسه الشر جزوعا. Whenever this human being is afflicted with evil, right? Sickness, poverty, loss of a loved one, a friend. Whenever evil strikes him, جزوعاً, he becomes جزوع. He becomes hopeless of all good. He despairs. He breaks down. And he believes that that's it. It's all over for me. No more goodness will come my way. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And if goodness was to come his way, and he's got health and wealth and children, and he becomes prosperous in life, he becomes manu'a. Manu'a meaning he withholds, he becomes stingy, he wants to keep it all for himself. That's the human, that's the nature of the human being, right? Then Allah Azza wa Jal made an exception. He said, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except those who are committed to their prayers. Those who are committed to their prayers, evil will come to them, calamities will come, but they will not despair. They will not become hopeless. And good will come to them. And if good came to them, they know that they have to give from it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to how much of your salat you have, according to how much commitment to your salat, the obligations, sunan al-rawatib, salat al-duha, salat al-witr, the more control you will have over your distress and anxiety and depression. And the less salat in life, the more anxiety, the more distress, and the more calamities, and you will not be able to control yourself during these times. Why am I sharing this with you? Because a salat at its core is Surah Al-Fatiha. A salat, the main part of it, the main pillar of a salat, is the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. So much so that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the salat, it is invalid if you do not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in it. Right? This is according to the majority opinion. If you miss Surah Al-Fatiha, then that salat is invalid. You're supposed to get up and pray again. Therefore, a salat is Surah Al-Fatiha. And it's recited at least 17 times a day. That's if you're just praying the obligations. A lot more if you're praying more than the obligations. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he described the Fatiha, you know what is another name that he gave it? Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is As-Salat. That's how much of a pillar it is in the prayer that it's called Surah As-Salat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. That I divided As-Salat, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha. I divided As-Salat, Al-Fatiha, two halves. One half for Allah and the other half for the believer. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he said, whenever the believer says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Azza wa Jal responds and he says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has shown gratitude to me. Allahu Akbar. Do you know what this does? This means that you have said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And Allah in response has said, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has shown me gratitude. That means that Allah Azza wa Jal has acknowledged your hamd of him. He's acknowledged it. You know, one of the problems that we always have and we doubt, we make dua, we praise Allah, we say, did Allah hear me? Did Allah accept my worship, my dua, my recitation? Did he? I don't know. Well, here the hadith is saying, Allah says that mice, and he responds to each and every single one of us. And he says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has just shown gratitude to me. What does that mean? That means he has acknowledged, he has heard you, and he has accepted your hamd of him. When you know this, how much comfort and relief and healing does it give the believer? That you're not left alone in this worldly life. Allah heard you and he praised and acknowledged the fact that you have shown gratitude to him. When the slave says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Athna alayya abdi. When you say, Allah is the most merciful, the especially merciful, Allah Azza wa Jal will respond and he will say, Athna alayya abdi. My slave has praised me. He has praised, Allah has acknowledged and he has accepted your praise of him, Allahu Akbar. And if Allah accepted one deed of yours, you have a good chance on the Day of Judgment. And this is happening every salat, every time you recite Al-Fatiha. How much healing does that give the believer when he knows this is the type of relationship he has with Allah Azza wa Jal? When the believer says, Maliki Yawm al-Din, the king and the owner of the Day of Recompense. And we're going to come after these ayat, one after the other later. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, Majjadani Abdi, my slave has glorified me. Once again, Allah Azza wa Jal is accepting and acknowledging your glorification of him. When we say, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'een, you alone we worship and you alone we seek help. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, هذه بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. Allah Azza wa Jal says, this is between me and my slave. Allahu Akbar. Look how personal the conversation has become. Meaning everyone's excluded from me. This is between me and my slave. And for my slave is whatever he asks and requests. We haven't even made the dua. اهدنا الصلاة المستقيمة. We haven't even said it yet. But we're in that much of a good position that Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, ask my slave. Ask. For you is whatever you ask. Allahu Akbar. How much healing does this give a person? You know? And Imad, I'll give you a small example. If you entered upon a king and you sat in front of this king and you said, King, you're the best king in the world. You're so generous. You're so compassionate. You're so kind. You're so gentle. When you keep praising the king, eventually he says what? Ask what you want. You haven't even asked anything. The mere fact of praising someone, a person loves this, so now he gives. To Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of examples. But Allah Azza wa Jal loves when the servant praises him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now after this praise of Allah, you're in a position to ask. Now the question and the request comes. And the best of dua, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, this is between me and my slave. And for my slave is what he asked and he requested. Allahu Akbar. And there we go. Allah Azza wa Jal grants us guidance every single day. 17 times a day you're asking and Allah is giving. What do you think is the reason for why you prayed Maghrib today? We already prayed Maghrib yesterday and 100 days before that. Allah Azza wa Jal gave you this success and guided you to pray it once again. And in this salat, we said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, hoping from Allah that He continues to guide us so we have that energy and ability to pray Salat al-Isha. Salat al-Isha, again, we're going to say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, in hope that Allah Azza wa Jal keeps us guided on the straight path until Salat al-Fajr. Once again, we're going to ask Allah at Fajr in hope that He keeps us on the straight path until Al-Dhuhr. And you see, the reality of life is that you're going to die after one of five prayers. What is the last prayer you're going to pray in your life? Allahu Alam. You will find out in the last moment of your life. One of them is going to be the end. And you need guidance between one salat and another. And you see, the timing of the prayers is unbelievable. You have al-Fajr, then you have al-Dhuhr, al-Asr, Maghrib, Isha, they're all close to each other. Then after Isha, you're supposed to be sleeping. And in sleep, you're away from heedlessness and you're away from sins altogether. Right? So you're protected from that perspective. And then you have these prayers during the day that are one after each other because you're awake. And there is great potential that you become misguided. So you need the prayers as a pit stop to stop, refresh, ask Allah for more guidance, and bi-idhnillah Allah guides you to the next salat. Because Allah said, when you said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, for my slave is what he requested. Allahu Akbar. Surah Al-Fatiha is powerful. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we go through ayah by ayah bi-idhnillah quickly, so we can see How does each ayah offer us healing? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Some ulama say this is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. Others say this is not the first ayah. Rather, the first ayah is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Whatever the case may be, Al-Basmalah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is an ayah of the Quran. But this is agreed upon. It's in Surah Al-Naml. And so this is the first ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. How does Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim heal us from distress and anxiety and depression? How? What are we supposed to be thinking? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this ba, it is the ba of al-isti'anah. It's the ba of seeking Allah's help. When we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, it means with the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate, we seek His help. A wrong translation is in the name of Allah. Bismillah does not mean in the name of Allah. This is the ba' of utilization, meaning with the name of Allah. And if I was to say with the name of Allah, is that a complete sentence or an incomplete sentence? Huh? It's an incomplete sentence. If I said with the name of Allah, so there needs to be something to it. That thing to it, it's known in Arabic as fi'lun muqaddar. Fi'lun muqaddar meaning an assumed verb. So if I'm drinking, for example, and I said Bismillah and I drank, that means with the name of Allah, I drink. With the name of Allah, I eat. With the name of Allah, I open the tap. But we don't say, I open the tap, I eat, I drink, because I'm doing that action. So I just say Bismillah and it's enough. This is al-isti'anah, seeking Allah's help. How does this cure our distress? It is teaching you and I that you need Allah's help in every matter in life. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is teaching you and I, surrender and give up. And don't face this worldly life on your own. Because if you think you can do this worldly life and its tests and trials on your own, you will fail miserably. If you think you can rely on yourself and on your health and on your wealth to get things done, you will fail miserably. Why? Because the human being is weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And if you rely upon yourself and you remove Allah from the equation, you're relying on something weak, and therefore you'll fail miserably in life. And you'll be hurt so much, you'll never be able to heal. Allahu Akbar. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, in the battle of Uhud, he got injured. His finger got cut off. That's a calamity. That's a calamity. You think for yourself, maybe some wealth has been cut off from you. Maybe a relationship has been cut off from you. Everyone is like Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu. You'll have some things cut off from your life. So as soon as his finger got cut off, he said, hiss, meaning there's an injury, there's pain. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him. And he said to him, أَمَا لَوْ قُلْتَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ لَرَفَعَتْكَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He said to him, Talha, had you only said Bismillah, the angels would have raised you. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching him, face your calamity with Bismillah. Face your calamity with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't utter words of ad-dunya, even though it's permissible to scream these kind of screams, no problems. But always remember, that you're supposed to be facing your calamities with Bismillah, with the name of Allah. Then and only you will heal from your distress and your calamity. The calamity will be there, it'll remain. But your faith will be stabilized, and that's the main thing you want during a calamity. You can lose the whole world, no problems, but you can't afford to lose your faith. That's the help that you want from Allah Azza wa Jal during a calamity. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was being launched into a fire by his people that was kindled for days and it was scorching hot, that if a bird was to fly on top of it, it would burn and fall in it. And they launched him into a fire. And he would face, this is a calamity. Everyone is going through some sort of fire in his life. And he would say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He faced his calamity with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, sufficient for me is Allah. And he is the best to rely upon. Similarly, Yunus alayhi salam enters a calamity, a distressful situation, ends up in the belly of a whale. In three darknesses, in the darkness of the belly of the whale, and the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the depth of the ocean. He reached literally a rock bottom in his life. That whale and that darkness could be different for each and every single one of us. But when he was in there, he faced that calamity with the help of Allah. The first thing that he begins to utter and remind himself, he says, La ilaha illa ant subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allahu Akbar. He says, there is no Lord worthy of worship except you. Subhanak. Perfection belongs to you. Glory be to you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I am the wrongdoer. I am the one that does wrong. It's because of my hands and what I have done that I've landed in this situation. Allahu Akbar. Do you imagine? Can you imagine what Yunus alayhi salam is saying? He's saying, I was a wrongdoer, not you. You did not wrong me. You did not oppress me in any way. I've landed in this calamity because of my own self. This is power. This is strength. This is facing his calamity with the name of Allah. And as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal gives him relief and aid, as we'll see. But the idea is, when you read, when now you're sitting, you want to heal yourself with Surah Al-Fatiha, you say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You stop, you reflect. You want this ayah to heal you? You need to be cognizant and recognize that you will never be healed without the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so you seek Allah Azza wa Jal's help and aid. This is what this ayah is teaching us. And you don't rely upon yourself and upon others. Because everything else besides Allah is going to perish and die. And if you rely on other than Allah, then you're relying on something that has an end and will perish and will die. And once that thing dies and perishes, let's say you've relied on it, what happens? Your matter is unfinished because you relied on something that perishes. The only one who does not die and is the all living is Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why Allah said, وَتَوَكَّلْ what? عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. Rely upon the one who is all living and never dies. Why did he use these names specifically? Allah could have said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ. Well, he does say that in another ayah, but Allah Azza wa Jal could have said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَلِيمِ الْحَكِيمِ. Why here specifically, الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. Rely on the one who is all living and never dies. So that you and I can understand. If you rely on Allah, you're relying on someone that does not die. Therefore, your matters will always be solved. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is always there. And He's aware of what you're going through. And He's the only one that can give you this relief. That's Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, then we recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the world. How does this ayah heal us from our distress and depression and anxiety that we face? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen forces us to think of the blessings that Allah has given us and to be grateful to Him for that. This is how this ayah is healing us. Because when a person is in distress or he's facing a severe calamity, often what happens is a person becomes blinded from the many blessings he has in life and he focuses on the problem that is before him, on the calamity that is before him. Can't think of anything else. It's all he's thinking about. My money, and where did it go? My relationship, and what had happened with it? My health, and what is going to happen now in the future that I have heard this kind of diagnosis? And so on. When a calamity strikes, a person's vision is blocked from the many goodness and blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal is still continuing for him. And he focuses on this. When you recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it's opening that blocked vision of yours, teaching you and I there's a lot to be grateful for. Say Alhamdulillah that the calamity was not in your deen. Say Alhamdulillah that you still find love for Allah and His Messenger. Say Alhamdulillah for what else remains of the blessings in your life that you cannot even count. Even though you're going through the worst period in your life, there is still that much blessings that if you sat down to count them, you will never end. But the shaitan blocks the vision of a person, and nothing will open it except the words of Allah, and nothing more powerful than Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, during a time of distress, is teaching you and I to focus on our attitude of gratitude. Focus. Where's the gratitude? You know, now, psychologists, even in their healing therapies, they have something known as the gratitude therapy. You can heal by being grateful. We already have this in our Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We need to change our attitude that we have for gratitude. You know, sometimes people, he's got calamities all in his life. You say to him, brother, how are you? He says, Alhamdulillah. The way he says Alhamdulillah is a sign of his problems. But that's not how Alhamdulillah should be said. You see, the way sometimes people say Alhamdulillah, it's a sign that he has actually problems in his life. It doesn't depict in one bit that he's praising Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah is said with happiness, with confidence, with strength. Alhamdulillah. This, we need to change the attitude that we have with the gratitude. That's Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Take one of the blessings that you still have, and that is time. How huge of a blessing is time on earth? You know how huge this is? You know, there are billions and billions in their grave now. The biggest wish they have is to come and spend 1 minute on earth. Just to say, Astaghfirullah, and then I'll be happy to go back into my grave. And you have that. We are now living the wish, the greatest wish of billions that are in their grave at this time. So whatever you're going through, Alhamdulillah for time. This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up, he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi radda alayya ruhi wa athani fi jasadi wa adhina li bi dhikrih. He would say, oh, praise belongs to Allah that he has returned the soul once again into my body. Why is he praising Allah? That Allah returned his soul in his body yet again to witness another day. In other words, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being grateful for yet another day of life. And that's the blessing of time. Think of the blessing of time. And that will heal you from your distress and calamity. Whatever you're going through, it's not as great as the one who's suffering in his grave, wishing to come back, but he'll never come back. فَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You'll be questioned about the many blessings Allah has given you. What's the next surah after that? Does anyone know? Wal Asr. You know the connection here? Allah is saying, you will be asked about the many blessings. The next surah is Al Asr, teaching you and I that the greatest blessing you have is Al Asr. Wal Asr is your time on earth. Everyone's Asr is different. Your Asr is when you are born until you die. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Abu al-Ash'ath, Ushaddad ibn Aus, radiyallahu anhuma, two companions, they went and visited a sick man. And they asked him, Kayfa asbaht? How are you today, my friend? He said to them, Asbahtu fi ni'mah. Today, I wake up and I am immersed in blessings. Allahu Akbar. The man is sick. Yani, is sickness a blessing? What is he saying, this man? Indeed. Look at his attitude. He's sick. He's in a bedridden. companions are visiting him because he's sick. And they asked him, how are you? And he said to them, I woke up today immersed in many blessings. Now, he didn't say Alhamdulillah. He said, Asbahtu fi ni'mah. You know the word fi? It means in. But in means like in a deep, immersed into something. I got blessings above me, in front of me, left and right of me, behind me, blessings I can't see, and I count. Fi ni'mah. What type of attitude is this? This man was healing himself through Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Of course, sickness is a blessing. It's wiping away the sins, purifying the soul. A person is being raised and elevated ranks in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Many worships are coming out when you're sick. When you're sick, the worship of patience is coming out from you. The worship of gratitude and complete reliance upon Allah is coming out. The worship of a dua is coming out. But if you never went in a calamity in your life, how will you ever master the worship of dua? So these sicknesses and these trials and calamities, they're a goodness. They bring out the best of us in terms of worship. And that's what will count for you and I on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. So there is a lot to be grateful for in any calamity and any situation you're in. And this is why from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was afflicted by something evil, he would say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. He would say, Alhamdulillah for every situation. Subhanallah. Walhamd is to praise Allah with love. Be careful. Praising Allah with love. You see, because I can praise someone and not love him, right? Let's say an enemy of yours did something really praiseworthy. But he's an enemy of yours. People in a moment like this say, okay, credit is where it's due. No problems. We praise him for what he did. But he's an enemy of ours. We don't like him. Right? Musa alayhi salam praised Fir'aun for looking after him and taking care of him in his palace as he was growing up. But he hates him. He's an enemy of Allah. He's claimed lordship over the people. But Alhamdulillah is praising Allah with love. So now how do you heal? When you say Alhamdulillah, you internalize and you acknowledge the love that you have for Allah Azza wa Jal despite what you're going through. Don't ever allow the calamity that you're going through affect your love for Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaytan will take advantage of this moment, casting doubt in your heart, saying Allah doesn't love you. If Allah loved you, he wouldn't have done this and that to you. So why are you loving him back? That's what the shaytan will do. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen clears you from this doubt, because it can only come out from a heart that sincerely and certainly loves Allah Azza wa Jal. It repels and it removes the evil whispering of a shaytan. And you're internalizing this as you're saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and you're being healed. You're being healed by this ayah and by this concept. Allahu Akbar. That's what shaitan does. At that moment, you're supposed to remind yourself, what do you mean Allah hates me if I'm going through these calamities? Did Allah Azza wa Jal ever, in a hadith or in an ayah, state that one of the conditions of Allah loving a person that he'll never test him? Rather, we find opposite to this. Whenever Allah loves a servant, he tests him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many tests did he go through? He lost his beloved wife, his uncle, his grandfather, his mother. He buried his own mother. He lost his father, didn't even see his father. His people attacked him. His tribe rejected him. His family members insulted him and abused him, calling him a crazy, insane man. His children, most of them, all of them died in his life except Fatima. He buried them all. Yet not once did he say, Allah, I thought I'm the chosen slave. I thought you love me. Why are all these tests for in my life? He never said that. So you have a great example in your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach you that when Allah Azza wa Jalla loves someone, He tests him. So when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're going through this most severe part of your life in terms of calamity and test, you reassure yourself that I love Allah despite these calamities. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Alhamd is the highest level a person can reach in terms of responding to a calamity. You know, when we respond to a calamity, you can do it in one of four ways. You can either be displeased with Allah for what He sent of calamities upon you. Whoever is displeased with Allah, Allah is displeased with him. It's haram to be displeased. Second level is to be patient upon the calamity. Patient. Patience is to not say words that are displeasing to Allah. So when you say, why me, O Allah? This is unfair. Then that, you've lost your patience. Patience is during a calamity you say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's good, that's patience. There's higher than that. It's called ar-rida. You can respond to a calamity with rida, being pleased with this calamity. What's the difference between patience and being pleased? Being pleased is, whether the calamity happened or not, for you it's the same. No difference. The wealth came from Allah, and it went as a test from Allah, no problems. That's rida. Well, rida, in the face of a calamity, being pleased with a calamity, is mustahab, it's recommended, it's not wajib. The wajib is to be patient, that's wajib. Rida is an addition. And higher than rida is to be grateful for the calamity. Alhamd of the calamity. So now, you're not just patient, you're not just pleased, you're saying Alhamdulillah it happened. That's a huge level. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is encouraging you to be from the highest of levels when responding to this calamity in your life. And how do you reach that level? I give you a solution to that and an answer. When Allah Azza wa Jal tests us, He tests us with something. Yeah? Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. We will test you with something of a loss of wealth, a loss of life, and other calamities in life. Something. So when you're tested in your wealth, it's not all of it, it's something. When you're tested in relationships and loved ones and so on, some die, not all of them, some. There's always something left. Something's taken, something's left. Whatever it is, health, something is taken, something is left. So now, in order to reach the level of hamd, you're supposed to focus a lot more on what remained and not focus on what was gone. Like the Sahabi Urwa ibn al-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he gave us a beautiful example. Urwa ibn al-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he was in al-Madinah and he was going to Ash-Sham to visit al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik. So on the way, he developed a disease in his foot, gangrene. And it had to be amputated. You know, there's a serious infection, bacterial infection. So he got to the king and the king said to him, we need to amputate your leg in order for you to have a chance to survive. No problems, we'll need to amputate it. He prayed and in his sujood, they amputated his leg. And he was unconscious. So you wait until he wakes up. And as he's waking up, news had arrived that one of his sons was thrown off a horse and kicked and he died. But the calamity is intense. So they said, we shouldn't tell him that his son died. Enough, the calamity that he just lost his leg. Some of us said, we have to inform him that his father, his name makes dua for him and pray upon him. He said, we'll inform him, let's inform him. And they told him the news. Your son had died and he's just woken up and his leg's in a pot. They've just amputated it, very difficult. Allahu Akbar, look what he said. He said, my Lord, you gave me 2 hands and 2 feet, and you gave me 7 children. You took 1 of 4, which is 1 leg, and you left for me 3. And you took 1 child, and you left for me 6. So Allah, to you belongs the praise for what you gave, and to you belongs the praise for what you took. Allahu Akbar. You want to reach the level of hamd? You're supposed to focus on what remains and very easily with the help of Allah. Remember, because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you're seeking Allah's help, then you're saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, O Lord, make me from the people of Alhamd in this time of distress and calamity. How much is this? We're not even anywhere near the end of the surah and how much healing has happened when the believer is thinking like this as he is reading Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. How does Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim heal us in times of distress and panic and anxiety and depression? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim forces us to think of Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy. The door of the mercy of Allah is open. And it forces us to think that no matter what calamity you're going through, it will always be injected with a lot of Allah's mercy, gentleness, kindness, and compassion. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is always compassionate and gentle and merciful with the believer. Even when you go through the most difficult time in your life, it is covered with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You just got to open your eyes and see it. And nothing will open your eyes other than the word of Allah when you read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam, I told you before, he was thrown in a fire, right? He faced it with the help of Allah. He said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. When he landed in the fire, what happened? Allah Azza wa Jal said to the fire, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, be cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. That's the mercy of Allah to Ibrahim as he faces the most difficult calamity in his life. That's the mercy of Allah. And look, bardan wa salaman. Look how precise the mercy of Allah in His decree is. Allah says to the fire, be cool and peaceful. You might say, what's the difference? Cool and peaceful, it's two in one. No. If the fire was only bardan, cool, he might have frozen to death. And if it was peaceful, if it was only peaceful, he would have burnt a peaceful burning. Bardan wa salaman is the solution. Bardan will make it cool, the coolness won't freeze him to death, and salaman will keep him protected. Beautiful. That's the qadr of Allah, that's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, injected in the time of a calamity. You need to see it. The fire is surrounding Ibrahim. He can't see the coolness, you can't see a coolness. He can't see the peace. These are not things that are visual. You cannot see coolness. You cannot see peace. But it's there. It's there. He's walking in a fire. And he can sense it. He can sense it. He can feel it. He doesn't have to see it. And that's the believer in a calamity. He senses the mercy of Allah. He senses the compassion. He feels Allah's mercy and love being injected into his heart. Allahu Akbar. Ayyub alayhi salam. 18 years bedridden. When he makes a dua to Allah, he says, Massani al-Dur. He says, Lord, the pain has touched me. 18 years. Look at his manners with Allah. I just touched me. I can feel a little bit of it. No problems. Massani al-Dur. 18 years. Sickness. He couldn't even get up from his bed. His wife had to pick him up to go to the bathroom and back. He lost his wealth. He lost his 21 children or so. The whole townspeople got scared of him from a disease he had. They ran away. What a calamity. Yet despite this, years after this, and he's still in the calamity, he says, وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You're the most merciful. I tell you something, it's very easy when things are going good to say, yeah, of course, Allah arhamur rahimin. But try to say that 18 years into your calamity. Then it's an achievement. Then you've achieved something. A shaytan will make you doubt the mercy of Allah, just like he'll make you doubt what we said before as well. He will make you doubt the mercy of Allah and the love of Allah for you. Nothing will repel this doubt other than being healed and cured and reading Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allahu Akbar. And that's the promise of Allah. You know, Asiya, radiallahu anha, the wife of Fir'aun, when she used to be beaten and tortured, Allah Azza wa Jal would show her her house in the paradise. That's Allah's mercy amidst the calamity. Maryam, radiallahu anha, she's experiencing a really difficult calamity to the point where she says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. I wish I had died way before this. I'm going to say to the people, carry a newborn. I've never been married. But this is a very, very distressful moment. Especially when it comes to the dignity and honor of a person. You cannot recover from that. If someone accused you of az-zina wal-iyadu billah, how do you recover? How do you recover? This is why in al-Islam, if a person committed az-zina and he was unmarried, what is the punishment? In Islamic law and in Islamic system, the punishment would be that he should be lashed 100 times. Not only that, and expelled from the land for 1 year. Because what an embarrassment. How's he going to walk among people? So you can understand the type of calamity she's in. Yet the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is there. Where is it? When he says to Isa alayhi salam to speak, and Isa alayhi salam says, Inni Abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabi. There's a miracle. And that's Allah's kindness and compassion and mercy upon Maryam radiallahu anha. I'm telling you, it's there. Allah's mercy is all over your calamity. But you need to see it. Naam. Allahu Akbar. So Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And you think of that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed all things. Why would you think that it hasn't encompassed you? If it's encompassed all things, it encompasses you as well. Allahu Akbar. That's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, I'll give you a small, silly example, just so you can understand the point. You're a father. Let's say your child becomes so sick that they need to operate on him. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us all and our children health. But this child becomes sick and he's in urgent need of an operation. So as a father, you take him to the doctor. The doctor says, your son, in order for him to have a chance in life, we need to do open heart surgery. So open heart surgery involves a lot of pain, injury, suffering. But you as a father, your mercy towards your child is that you will sign the paper and consent and approve of the surgery. See that? That's your mercy, but you know there's a lot of pain involved. But still, it's an act of mercy and kindness from you towards your son. Of course, to Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of example. You might go through a lot of pain and suffering, but that's Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy upon you. How? You don't know. You don't have to know. But it's there. You'll find out on the Day of Judgment what the wisdom was for that kind of suffering they went through. Allahu Akbar. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. How does this ayah heal us? How does it heal us in times of despair and distress? See, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, the king of the day of recompense, it forces you to think of the day of judgment. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahida kafahu Allahu hamma dunyah. Anyone who makes the concern, that anyone who makes the afterlife, Yawm Al-Din, anyone who makes that day his greatest concern, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect him from all worldly concerns. You know, look, being concerned and worried, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but the best worry and concern you can ever have is the concern of the afterlife. That's the most healthiest concern because it keeps you on your 2 feet in order to prepare for that day. So when you read this ayah, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, forcing you to shift your focus and your concern to the afterlife, what the worldly concerns now really matter for you? Huh? When your greatest concern is the afterlife and you have some financial troubles, what do they mean? Well, the day you die, that concern's over. It's not your business anymore. You've come out of it. When you have a relationship calamity or whatever it is that you're going through, but then you say, Yawm Al-Din, oh, that's my concern. All worldly concerns become insignificant and now you're healing. Because they're not your main concerns anymore. Yawm Al-Din is your main concern. Everything else has become small. Allahu Akbar, and a person heals. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the continuation of that hadith, وَمَنْ تَفَرَّقَتْ بِهِ الْهُمُومِ فِي أَوْدِيَةِ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهِ فِي أَيِّهَا هَلَكَ. And if a person, if his worldly concerns and worries are distributed in worldly matters, then Allah does not care which of the worldly matters destroys you. Meaning, if your concerns became dispersed, Allah, I have some concern for a relationship, concern for money, concern for a business job, concern for a business deal, a concern of a debt, a concern of this, and you spread them out on all worldly affairs and matters, and your concern for the afterlife shrank, it becomes small. Allah Azza wa Jal says, I don't care which of them causes your death. And it wasn't worth it when you die from that concern. Was it worth it? Wasn't worth it. And making the afterlife your concern is not just a word you say, you wake up, Allah, today the concern is Yawm al-Din. Doesn't work like that. Making the worldly life your concern is a proper plan you make from the beginning of the day. You get up early, you pray, you witness Salat al-Fajr in Jama'ah, you engage in Adhkar after the prayer, you engage in Adhkar, the morning Adhkar. Oh, all of this type of worship, the sun hasn't even come yet. Ah, now you've made the hereafter your main concern. During the day, you keep away from the prohibitions, you exercise the obligations to the best of your ability. Now, the hereafter is your concern. Maliki yawm al-din. And that's how it heals us, because it shifts our focus from worldly concern to the greater concern, which is the afterlife. And from another perspective, the word Malik, also in another recitation, what? Malik, the king. Sometimes people's calamity and their distress is because of the hurt and the harm and the oppression and injustice of others. Right? Like what we witnessed today. Part of our family, part of an ummah, is undergoing or is a victim to severe oppression and injustice. How do we heal from that? When you read Malik, Yawm al-Din, he is the king and the owner of the day of recompense. How does it heal us? We say, no problems. There is a day in where we will not be standing in the courts of this worldly life, the unjust, corrupt courts of this worldly life. We'll be standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Us and our oppressor. Us and the one who harmed us and hurt us. See how much healing that gives you? No problems. We're all gonna die. We'll all die, no problems. Burn us, bomb us, slaughter us, genocide us. Do what you want. But there will come a day where all of us will die. Right? And we'll stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. On a day in where people are barefoot, naked, uncircumcised, poor, no governments there, no armies there, nothing of this world, their life is there. So you and your deeds, whether they're good or bad, that's the currency of the day of judgment. Hasanat and sayyat, that's the currency. Allahu Akbar. And we'll see the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Its motto is La Zulma Al-Yawm. There shall be no oppression today. Complete justice. So I tell you something. You see, the believers, sometimes people say, well, God doesn't exist, because if he did, there wouldn't be this much oppression and injustice on earth. I'll say, yeah, I would have agreed to that if the end of this world, the life, was the end of everything. No problems. But who said to you the end of this world is the end of everything? There's still an afterlife. So you cannot cast this type of doubt into me, telling me that if God existed, there will be no injustice on earth. Doesn't work. Because who told you the end of this life is the end of everything? If the end of this life was the end of everything and there's nothing after it, yes, then if God did exist, he'll be unjust. Ma'ad Allah, that's not the case. There's an afterlife. You're going to see Allah's justice just the way you want it and more. So, Maliki Yawm al-Din gives a lot of healing and it gives a lot of assurance that Allah exists and a day of recompense will come. and we'll see the justice of Allah being executed. Maliki yawm al-deen. Then we read, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship and you alone we seek help. Allahu Akbar. How does this ayah heal us? Because it's reminding us of our purpose in life. Your purpose in life is na'bud, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. That's your purpose in life. We were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. The heart was created to worship Allah. And so long as you're busy practicing your purpose, that's how you will heal. If you do other than what your purpose is, your heart will begin to shake and tremble and experience distress and disasters. Just like a fish, you know, a fish, it was created for the water. If a fish is in the water, right, it was created for that. That is its gills, its fin, whatever it is, perfect for it. It's calm. The fish is tranquil when it's in the water. Take the fish out of the water, what happens? Now, what happens? It begins to shake and violent, trembling, because it doesn't belong outside of the water. See, the believer, you were created and our environment is worship. Heck, when we're in the masjid, when we're reading Quran, we're in the environment of salat, of dhikrullah, then the heart is going to be like that of a fish in the water. It's calm, it's tranquil. Because you're doing what you were created for. If you remove yourself from the environment of iman, environment of worship, you're going to begin to violently shake and tremble. Distress, calamity, anxiousness, anxieties, because you're out of your environment. Come back and you'll settle once again. Iyaka na'bud. How does it heal us? It's teaching you and I. That's your purpose. Don't allow the calamity to distract you. So many people lose their deen when? Not in good times, in difficult times. This person never read the message of Allah, right? Iyaka na'bud. In a moment of calamity, you're supposed to be worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. At least the obligations. At least the five daily prayers. And that will give you satisfaction. The calamity might not go, but the heart will find tranquility and peace and rest. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'indu al-qulub. Allahu Akbar. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'bud. Na'bud means to fulfill la ilaha illallah. See, la ilaha illallah, that's what we were created for, to fulfill this word. Nothing else. And this is why, subhanAllah, it's an interesting fact. You'll realize in the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us what to say during times of calamity, during depression and distress, you know. And this is a research. Wallahu a'lam, my conclusion is, every single hadith that teaches a dhikr to be said in time of distress, somewhere in that dhikr, there is the word La ilaha illallah. Look at the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the dua of the distressed person is La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim, La ilaha illallah Rabbul arsh al-azim, La ilaha illallah Rabbul samawati wa Rabbul ardi wa Rabbul arsh al-kareem. See how La ilaha illallah was in it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Asma bint Umays, let me teach you a few words you're supposed to say when you're in distress. He says to her, say, Allah, Allah, Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. That's la ilaha illallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us a long dua. At the beginning of it, it says, Allahumma inni abduka wa abnu abdika wa abnu amatik. My Lord, I am your slave. Ibnu abdik, the son of your sleeve, the son of your female sleeve. See all that, ibnu ibnu, that is all la ilaha illallah, because you're acknowledging you're the slave of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person who says this dhikr and continues all the way to the end, not only his depression will be removed from him, but Allah will replace it with happiness. Abdalallahu hammahu aw huznahu faraha. See that? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the dua of the distressed person is the dua of Yunus. What did Yunus alayhi salam say? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Once again, it has la ilaha illallah in it. Allahu Akbar. Incredible stuff. So, iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone, we seek your help, right? Because al-ibadah, is a burden. It's a huge responsibility to worship Allah 5 times a day, or to fast Ramadan, now Ramadan is coming, wal hajj, and then to always do this every day, wal wudu, wal zakat, with the many good deeds that we do. That's difficult. You need help. So wa iyyaka nasta'in. Are we going to seek your help when we're going to be worshipping you? Wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. How do we heal with this ayah? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This ayah is teaching you and I the importance of dua during your distress and calamity. The importance of dua. See how we're healing now? We're remembering. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. Who other than Allah answers the call of the distressed whenever He calls him? In other words, no one but Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, قُلْ مَنْ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Tell them, who is going to save you from the darknesses of the land and the many shades of darkness of the ocean? تَدْعُونَهُ تَضَرَّعًا وَخُفْيَةً. You call unto Him, begging Him, and in silent, in private, لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا. Lord, if You only save us from this distress and calamity, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We will surely be from among the grateful ones. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal saves them. أي كافر. If he made dua to Allah sincerely during his time of calamity, Allah will answer him. And that's in the Quran. About when they're in the ship and then all the waves come crashing on them and then they say, oh Allah, if you save us, and then Allah will save them. Meaning he answered their dua. Imagine then the believer, the muwahid, the one who says, La ilaha illallah. And calls unto Allah in his distress. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Is teaching you and I that if you want to be healed, remember the worship of a dua, the greatest thing you can do during a calamity and a time of distress. Every single prophet made a dua in his calamity. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا. Allah says about the prophets. Zakariya alayhi salam, his calamity, he's 90 years old, his wife is barren, he needs a child. A child for what? Not for entertainment and play purposes. He wants a child to inherit the knowledge and to teach Bani Israel. He makes a dua. رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا. Lord, don't leave me single, childless. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And Allah gives him a child. Even though the situation seemed impossible. 90 years old and a barren wife. What comes out of that? And which child did Allah give him? Yahya. No one on earth ever before him was called Yahya. He's the first one. Yahya means to live. Out of a dead situation, something will live. Allahu Akbar. وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ. Nuh called us in a time of distress. فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. And how excellent we were in responding to him. And Allah saved him. And every prophet like this, dua, dua, dua. And the greatest dua you can do during distress is what? اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because when you're in distress, when you're in calamity, the one thing you're supposed to be worried about is losing your deen. And how are you going to keep holding on to your deen? Ask Allah for guidance. Here, through His words, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allahu Akbar. And that was the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seerah is full. Look at the calamity when they experienced in the battle of Badr. They were just a small group, 313 believers, 1,000 disbelievers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call out to Allah, Allah, if we are destroyed today, Islam will finish and expire on earth. Because no one can carry it, and these are the men of it. And if they're finished, khalas, Islam is gone. فَلَنْ تُعْبَدْ. You will never be worshipped after today. That's a serious calamity. He's making dua. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says he made dua the whole night until his cloak fell off his shoulder. And then Allah Azza wa Jal would give them victory. Allah Azza wa Jal would say it in the Quran, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When you were begging your Lord, and then Allah Azza wa Jal answered you and gave you victory over the disbelievers. So that's how اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ heals us in time of calamity and despair, that we think of the worship of a dua. The more dua in your life, the stronger your relationship is with Allah. The less dua in your life, that's a sign of a weak relationship with Allah. The one who makes dua to Allah, This is a person that enjoys talking to Allah and has established that relationship with Allah. When you have less dua in your life, it's like you said, I don't want to talk to Allah. There's no need. That's why Allah is angry with the one who doesn't ask Him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. And contrary to this understanding, whoever makes dua, Allah is pleased with him and loves him. Finally, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Guide us to the path of those whom you bestowed your favor upon. And don't guide us to the path of المغضوب عليهم, those who earned your anger. And not the path of those who are misguided. And how does this heal us? When you say, guide us to the path of those whom you bestowed your favor upon, who are they? Who are these people that Allah bestowed His favor upon? Anyone? The prophets, the messengers, as-sahaba, the as-siddiqeen, as-shuhada, as-salihin, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran. So you know what this ayah does? It forces you to reflect over the struggles and the lives of the prophets. That's what it does. When you say an'amta alayhim, you're supposed to stop. How does that heal you? Because Allah is forcing you to think of those that He bestowed His favor upon. Think of their struggles and their stories, and then follow in their path. How did they heal in a time of calamity? Do what they did, you know? You'll find, for example, Yusuf alayhi salam. Watch this. Yusuf is separated from his family. Anxiety. Separation. He's sold as a slave. He's thrown in the well. His brothers hate him. They wanted to kill him. He ends up in a palace far away from his mom and dad. He's still a young boy. He gets into this situation with the wife of the king. Then he ends up in prison. Calamity, 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 test, trial, and from the difficult ones. At the end of all this, and at the end of Surah Yusuf, you know what he says? Memorize it. He says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. My Lord has always been kind to me. My Lord has always been compassionate and gentle and merciful to me. After all this? Yes, after all this. Ya'qub alayhi salam, his father, he said to his sons, لَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. He said to them, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Brothers and sisters, he did not say this when he was on a couch relaxing and things were going well. He said this after losing two children. Lost. You know, a dead child is better than a lost child. At least you know where he went and we buried him. There's closure to the topic. But a missing child, that's a nightmare for a parent. Two missing children. He became blind. The worst type of blindness, his eyes become white. And after all this, that's when he's saying to his children, لَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Soon after, he smells the scent of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. A while after, he's hugging him. Allahu Akbar. See, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, reflect over those people, seek inspiration from them, and you'll see how your heart will charge and it will become healed all of a sudden. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the battle of Uhud, 70 of his beloved companions are dead, martyred before him. His beloved uncle Hamza radiyallahu anhu is martyred. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is injured. His tooth is broken. Sahaba, some have run away. What a disaster and a calamity. Afterwards, he says to the companions that are still with him, line up. Istawu hatta uthniya ala rabbi. Stand in line so that I may praise my Lord. And he begins an entire dua of praise to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a long one, you'll find it in the ahadith. Allahu Akbar. See, that's when you say, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, it's forcing you. Remember them, remember their struggles, follow in their path, you'll automatically be healed. And then at the end we say, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Don't guide us to the path of those who aren't your anger and those who are misguided. Because the people of the book that are misguided and earned Allah Azza wa Jalla's anger, these people, they don't accept the qadr of Allah. Any bad that happens in their life, they actually blame Allah for it. You know that? It's in the Quran. They'll come on the day of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The disbelievers will say, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. If Allah willed, if you wanted, we would have never worshipped other than Him. But you know, it's Allah's fault. He's the one that put us in this path. See? المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Blame Allah for whatever happened in their life. So you, in a time of distress, that's one thing you do not want to come near. Blaming Allah for your situation? No. Remember Yunus. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I'm the one to blame for all this. Look, even the battle of Uhud and what had happened, and the companions are confused. How did we lose? Where did this calamity come from? قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا. Allah would respond, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. All of these losses is because of what you had done. And that was the disobedience on that mountain. Anyway, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from the path of al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us content with the qadr, whatever it is that He decrees in our life. Ameen at the end of this surah, which means what? What does ameen mean? Allahumma istajib, ahsant, Allahi barik fik. Means, oh Allah, answer this dua of ours. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to answer our prayers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us of our distress and to relieve us of our calamities. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our iman, our faith. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allow us to die upon La ilaha illallah and resurrect us upon La ilaha illallah and allow us all to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala fi jannatin na'im. Innahu wa liyu thalika wal qadiru alayh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahumma amin, jazakumullahu khair, ahsan.